Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Richard Big from Camomino Group. How are you, Richard?
I'm very well, Chris. Yeah, good to meet you.
Excellent. Camomino Group makes it sound like quite a series of restaurants.
Well, it's not a series yet, but we're working on it. We've got two at the moment, and we're just building the third, and then we're hoping to get another site before the end of the year if we can.
Oh, okay. So where are your two restaurants now?
There's one in King's Cross.
We're just opposite that in Bar
Pepito. Yeah, Pepito. That's right, the Sherry Bar.
Pepito, yep.
So this is King's Cross, and the other one is in Canary Wharf, just by the riverside over in the Isle of Dogs.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's quite a nice location, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful. I was there last night. It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And beautiful weather at the moment
as
well.
Amazing, yeah. So it really comes into its own.
Yeah. And we're going to talk a wee bit about your experience as a restaurateur with a Spanish sort of theme here. And I'm quite interested in sharing, but I'm also interested in some of the other regions and really your experiences with what people expect when they come to you guys and what you really want them to really try. So I'm a simple customer.
Okay.
I've turned up at a Spanish restaurant.
Yes.
I'm sitting down. I've thought, oh, Albarino and Rioja are pretty nice. What do people say to you or the sommelier or your staff typically when you turn up?
Okay. Well, you're quite right. Albarino for the white wines and a Rioja for red in particular, but white wine as well, are the best known, I would say, Spanish wines and of course Carver as well, but they sell very well, very very easily. But we also make sure we have a good one, not some sort of cheap one, and sort of just get away with shortchanging them.
But actually, I'm trying your Albarino at the moment.
Oh, are you?
And
right.
It is very nice.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's a really well made
one. Who's the producer?
It's called Fiaboa. And it's from Rias Baixas, right by the coast in Galicia.
Yep.
Gorgeous wine. And we love to get them to try to be a bit more experimental. We could just have like Rioja on the menu and that's it. But there's so many great regions that people need to sort of try to look beyond to sort of find other styles, which are fantastic. So we've got a reasonably succinct list. I don't think there's any point in having sort of hundreds of wine on your list. It just confuses people. It's unhelpful. But we try to make it as diverse as possible over a broad price range and sort of try to get them to try some sort of different great varieties from sort of regions they may not necessarily have heard of.
Although I must admit, I got here a bit earlier and I ordered myself a glass of wine at the bar while I was waiting for everything to happen. And I asked Bum, what does he recommend? And he steered me towards the Sauvignon Blanc. And I was like, no, man, I want to try something unusual. So I originally went for a Verdecchio and then I landed up actually with a Gadallo in the end.
But, right, good.
You've got some interesting grape varieties, but sometimes maybe the old people
think
it's safer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that Sauvignon you had, that's actually a blend of Eoren and Sauvignon. And Eoren is a very widely produced grape.
The largest white producing grape variety in the world, I think. It's the most planted, isn't it, Eoren?
That's what I heard. It's
in La Mancha it's big, though, first.
Massive in La Mancha.
For spirits, though, not...
Huge on... Exactly right. And a lot of it is actually very dull. So I was really pleased when I came across a couple of nice ones there. And with this additional Sauvignon, it gives it a bit more zip. Verdejo from Rueda is an absolute classic. That's a perfect example of, especially actually what's happening with white wines in Spain. People just, you know, think of red Spain and generally red wine. And, of course, the brand of Rioja. But Rueda, Verdejo from Rueda, Galicia for Albarino, but also for the Godello you mentioned, and Trecha Dura and Loureiro, some other great varieties there, and Catalonia, just about Barcelona, that region is fantastic for white garnachas and Moscatel, and absolutely gorgeous wine.
What's that area, just heading up into the mountains of the Pyrenees?
Sonomontano,
yeah. I used to drink a lot of Gewurz from there, and it was absolutely beautiful stuff.
Fantastic. And that's the sort of quirky thing about Spanish winemaking today. Although there's sort of a lot of sort of traditional grape varieties, they're not scared to experiment. And I actually last week I was in Sonomontano and I drank some Gewurz Tramina, and it was absolutely spot on. It was delicious.
Yeah, no, it's nice stuff. Mm. And international grape variety. Verdejo is a classic grape variety that's seen a revolution.
Yeah,
you know, it used to be well, people, I never tried it when in the old days, but it was supposed to be quite oxidized style, and now with stainless steel and EU investment, it's all come quite a lot fresher.
Quite right, absolutely. And modern Spanish winemaking is really innovative, extremely energetic, and very, very exciting. And the quality has gone through the roof, and it's got a lot to do with the modern winemaking processes. So the, and also, because it's a very high country, it's very mountainous, second most mountainous in country in Europe after Switzerland, actually. So that's how they can be so far south, yet produce wines of such structure and freshness.
I suppose when you say mountainous, La Mancha is quite a raised plateau. Do you count that as a mountain? Or
No, that's not a mountain, that's a meseta. I suppose, I mean, although it is very mountainous, a lot of the country is just very high.
Okay, and I'm a punter, I'm sitting down, I'm having a, you know, and I'm trying to, you're obviously a man with passion for Spanish wines.
Sure am.
How would you convince me to be more, move beyond the Rioja or the Cava? You know, is it a case of by the glass, letting people experiment, or is it very much sommelier-led, or?
It's actually, you're quite right, it's by the glass, and it's recommendations from staff. We have wine trainings for the staff at least twice a month. A lot of the wine's available by the glass, so if they've forgotten what a wine tastes like, or have pretended to forget, they can always try another splash. We encourage the staff to offer people a little splash, just pour a little splash in the glass.
I certainly was offered that, yeah.
Great, I'm happy to hear it. And we also do wine flights, which I think is really good fun. We've got a couple of sherry flights, a couple of white wines, and a couple of red wine flights. As suggestions, but we've also got one we call Estilo Libre, in other words, freestyle. So all the wines available by the glass are also available by a flight. So you can choose whichever ones you want and make your own flight. Just a little splash of three wines.
Yeah, how many wines do you get? Three wines?
Three wines, yeah.
And how many, what size measure do you get?
75 mil.
Okay, so 50 mil is good serve, so 75 is enough to enjoy.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, and is that something you've been able to offer recently? Because I know there was all sorts of restrictions about the size of units and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's sort of freed it up for, I mean, I know there was that terrible hassle for the sampler ages ago, but they've overcome that, and actually it was a ridiculous law. You know, for God's sake, you know, why should people tell you what size you can serve a measure in or not? So it's really good fun. And I mean, I would always try a flight in a bar out of curiosity and enthusiasm. So we offer the same.
I've got an ISO glass here, and I've seen some other glasses. Do you just use ISO glasses as your wines for a flight? Because that's a good size glass for a small measure.
Yeah, that works well. The sort of smallest kind of almost schooner size. That's a Tia Pepe glass you've got there.
Looks like an ISO glass to me.
Yeah, it is. It's a very similar shape. As a glass, that's very sort of classic and traditional. The glass that we use for the sherries is our dessert wine glass, which is a slightly bigger bowl, tulip shaped, to sort of keep those aromas in there. And that's what we use for the flights.
Okay. And, you know, obviously you guys are trying to introduce different Spanish wines to people. What's a wine that people go, wow, I wasn't expecting that. That was great.
Well, let's see. I mean, for the reds, I've got a lovely, Ribera del Duero. We've got a Crianza.
Oh, Crianza?
Yeah. Ribera del Duero, just southwest of Rioja. Yeah. And that's a lot of wine for the money, actually. And often Ribera is expensive.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, Ribera del Duero, I always find is poor value, but nice wines. And Tempranillo, is it?
It's the local version of Tempranillo, so Tinto Fino or Tinto de País, as they say there. But we've got some, you know, astonishing ones at our Canary Wharf branch, but in King's Cross we have a shorter list. But the Crianza there fits on it. It's under £30, and that's a lot of wine for money. So that's an example. And I reckon the Verdejo from Rueda we have is very classic, and that is a real attention grabber. And we've got a fantastic cava called Gramona, which is...
I know them.
It's really good. Have you been there?
I've been there, done an interview with them. I've been to Gramona.
All right.
They're nice.
Yeah, good guys, and a very impressive wine. Sort of really sort of rich and yeasty and sort of buttery, and a lot more than you'd expect of people's expectations.
Yeah,
of
no, that is a nice wine. Although they did try, they tried doing an ice wine by freezing it, and I tried that. Well, they got some grapes, and they put them in and froze them,
yeah.
and then they crushed them. And to be honest, I wasn't impressed with that. But
it's nice that they're experimenting.
Oh, yeah, no, it's all about experimentation. They've got a new winery as well, haven't they? Well, they had a few years ago when I was down there.
I've not actually been there. I've just tried the wine.
I interviewed them probably 4 years ago. So, yeah, nice people, nice wines. You're right.
Great, definitely.
Brilliant. Okay, no, that sounds pretty cool. And food and wine matching, because... Yeah, sherries. I'm trying to focus more on sherries at the moment. Mm-hmm. But sherry as a region, I think you probably do need to go with a bit of food. You've got the drier finos. What would you go with more the drier, more nuttier styles?
Yeah, well, I mean, the crazy thing about sherry, and I'm talking of wines that make you go, wow, that was my next choice, because that is arguably the most astonishing wine. People have preconceptions about sherry, and they think, oh, I don't like sherry, it's too dry or it's too sweet. And it's like, well, actually, it's the driest wine in the world, and it's the sweetest wine in the world, and everything in between. And it's probably, it has to be the best food matching wine category of all. Start with the manzanillas and the finos, super dry, and they are perfect with jamón, of course. The fantastic Spanish ham from the back leg of the pig. The best stuff is from the Iberico or Blackfoot pig in western Spain, in Extremadura and Andalusia. And of course, olives and almonds are very classic. And seafood, especially with the manzanilla, is just heaven. You know, seafood, fish, wonderful.
There's a lot of wine in your glass. Do you need something a bit more substantial than, say, prawns lightly cooked?
I mean, manzanilla is a fino, which is the name for the dry white versions, made from the Palomino grape, and only, you know, still quite young. You know, they're, well, relative to other sherries, and they're between sort of 4 and 6 years old, typically. The manzanilla is a type of fino which is matured in the Sanlúcar de Barrameda, Sanlúcar, which is a town on the coast at the estuary of the Guadalquivir River. And it's a bit more youthful and a bit lighter than the sherry inland in the town of Jerez itself. And it's actually better suited to the lighter dishes. The fino from Jerez can handle slightly more robust dishes.
I'm a steak man. I like a bit of steak. If I had to go sherry,
yes, yeah.
What would you recommend? That'd be an interesting challenge for you.
I would recommend for a steak, you'd have to have probably quite a well-aged Amontillado or Palo Cortado or Oloroso, dry
Oloroso.
No Pedro Jimenez in it.
Yeah.
So then it could absolutely stand up to the flavors. I mean, the Oloroso is the most sort of powerful of the styles. It was fortified right from the outset. And it's got a rich, dark color and fantastic full-bodied flavor.
We've talked about what you'd like to sell. Ultimately, what does the punter end up buying?
Well, the best sellers here at Pepito are the finos. And that's the best way to begin anyway. I mean, not only at the beginning of your evening, but as an introduction to the style. And then our staff are really well trained. Our original bartender at Pepito, who's our sort of Pepito manager, is Pauline, who's right over there on the left. And she came with us on one of the first trips, because there's no substitute for actually going to Jerez, which is just incredible. We had a great trip. We charged around 3 days, went to 35 to 40 bars and restaurants, and really immersed ourselves in it, pretty much literally.
That is called a pub crawl, you know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, what better pub crawl than in the sunshine in the south of Spain? Yeah. It was brilliant. So, so she's very clued up, hugely knowledgeable, and will come down and make recommendations to the guys, and we train the other staff to do exactly the same thing. The other fun thing we do here is the flights as well. We've got 6 different flights of sherry here at Pepito. And I've even got a little sort of cheeky thing called Caminito de Pepito. And the ito is the diminutive. So it's like camino, meaning road. This is the little road of Pepito. So, and sort of combining the two names. And then you can try a series of styles, one of each, from the lightest, that fino, then through Amontillado and Palo Cortado and Oloroso, and then end up with the sweeter styles, like a big fat PX.
What would you wish Spanish wines could do from your point of view? What do you really wish that you could just hang your hat on and say, this is it, this makes my life so much easier? What would it be?
Well, I think generally it's all moving in the right direction anyway, with people's sort of understanding of the high quality of Spanish food. You know, gastronomically, it's fantastic. It's on fire, and not just the El Bulli's, which obviously that's shut down now. But the other Michelin-starred restaurants all around San Sebastian has led that. But there's an enormous pride in Spanish cooking, and that's been recognised over here in London now too. So it's very innovative and catching up fast with other well-known countries. So I'd have to say more of the same, and that applies exactly the same way to the drinks. People are recognising the quality of Spanish wines. And they're very excited about it, and it's so there's nothing to worry about there. I'm just excited. More of the same.
Well, I worry. I went to Rioja a wee while ago, about 4 years ago, and I went into a tapas bar in Rioja, and I don't know the language. I don't really know what I'm ordering, but I just thought I'd take a punt and see what happened. And I landed up with something like deep fried pig's fat. And it was most disgusting thing I've ever had in my life. And I just could not work out why they would sell it. Is that a local delicacy?
It would have to have been, yeah. I mean, that sounds like the kind of dish you'd have if you're just before you go and sort of plow the fields all day long. You need some sustenance that's going to last a long time. It would be something that is a really sort of local, specialized. Yeah. And, you know, if you're brought up with it, then you don't question it, but no, that's not something we have on the menu here, that's for sure.
I'm sure not. Okay, Richard, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your
time.
Good
to meet you, Chris.
Cheers, bud.